I can't fix this, should I try? I can't piss this away as a like I can't solve this, can't solve you. Can only steal this away from the truth, let's not pretend. I got time, but let's not end without a smile and a line. Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that. I can only say, I can only. Got mine. I'm closing doors to this waste of my time. I left the flowers in the hall. I used my powers to arrive at the fall, but I lie. I won't thaw. And if I can't chalk it up to a character flaw. Just leave it. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Well, good luck with that. Well, good.
Classroom where the other kids were laughing. That sick boy's face got all twisted as he spun around and yelled, "It ain't funny." But I guess that the rest of us thought it was. Yeah, I guess that the rest of us thought it was. First, they murdered the teacher. Next, they butchered the lesson. And then, they chewed up the language. And last, they swallowed the world. one kid threw open the shutters, while the other kids lay gasping. The window kid said, we should leave here and escape the choking fumes together. But I guess that the rest of us chose to stay. Yeah, I guess that the rest of us chose to stay. First, they'll cut down a mountain. Next, they'll churn the wide ocean. And then, they'll brew up a poison. At last, they'll probably learn. First, they cut down a mountain. Next, they churn the wide ocean. And then, they brewed up a poison. At last, they were ready to learn. At last, they were ready to learn. At last, we were ready to learn. We were ready to learn.
Art is an essential part of life. However, sometimes there are barriers to seeing it. That's why artists like Jagnagra create art that's accessible to everyone. If you walk in downtown Vancouver, you might see Nagra's work on a wall or some stairs. But she does more than create amazing art inspired by South Asian culture. As a proud queer woman, she advocates and works to end the stigma against 2S LGBTQ+ people. Let's get into it.
Yeah, my name is Jagnagra. I'm a graphic designer turned artist, visual artist. I'm the vice chair of a nonprofit organization called the Punjabi Market Collective. I do lots of advocacy for queer South Asians. I'm a mother, I'm a wife, and yeah, just trying to create art as much as I can. That's kind of the gist.
When I was doing some research on you and looking at your work, what's the best word to describe it? First of all, it's just fun. It's catching to the eye, very pleasing, and like the colors are just amazing. It is the antithesis of what I picture street art to be, something that you would see in like downtown Toronto on a wall somewhere, or in your case, downtown Vancouver. Your story is interesting too, from a sandwich artist to artist.
Probably like just before I started design school, I think my first real job was at Subway. And it was kind of, looking back, it's kind of funny that, you know, my official role was sandwich artist. And that was, a fun little story. And thinking back to that time of my life where I was like, just starting to explore my creative like journey in life.
Did you take art in like high school or throughout elementary school, or is this something that you pursued kind of afterwards?
Definitely afterwards. I probably didn't draw a single picture throughout high school. You know, there's the artsy kids that you see and you're like, oh, I could never do what they're doing. After high school, maybe even it was like towards grade 12. I feel like it was after grade 12. My brother, he's 2 years older, and he took some graphic design courses as part of his like diploma or degree that he was doing. And it was the first time I had even come across the term graphic design, or first time I like thought about it, right? Like he would design these posters, or he was doing this like typographic poster, and he took a photo of my hand in this like position and then Photoshopped like the text going across my hand. And my mind was—
That's awesome.
And just like, it was the first time I realized that the Pepsi can that's in our pantry is designed by somebody, or, you know, everything around us is designed by someone. And that kind of opened up this whole world for me. And I was like, I want to do that.
I think it's so interesting in terms, like when you were mentioning Pepsi and then they had that massive campaign to change the logo and everything, and people are like, oh, they barely changed it, like, and they spent millions of dollars. What's going on with this? But then, if you're just a person and you try to design a logo of some sort and you like put some time into it, you're like, I don't get it. What? Why isn't it look right at all? And you're like, that's right. People have like an eye and they take time to carefully curate what this image is and what it should represent.
Exactly. And you know, from the outside, you don't often think about what goes into something like that, right? And it's been a cool journey to be on and to kind of get the insider look at everything.
Okay, and I just have a quick list of some of the things that you've worked on. The Pride 2022 collection with Cher Vancouver. What else? You got the Granville Street banners, the Diwali warm-up jersey with the Vancouver Canucks, Guildford Town Center Pride stairs, just to name a few of your works, and they're always so amazing, so colorful. And when I see it out, specifically the stairs, those are what kind of drew my attention. Man, I wish more of our cities had art or like allowed our buildings to become also art pieces. 'Cause like how often is it that someone goes around downtown in a city somewhere and it's just gray square buildings everywhere?
Totally. And I think what that can do, first of all, thank you for your very kind words. But what art can do to transform a space is incredible, right? It goes from, like you said, a gray building, a gray plaza, and it just livens it up so much. And I find that art tends to draw people in, and you kind of create, like, placemaking initiatives surrounding the art kind of thing. And the reason I love, like, public art like that so much, and why I love doing it so much, is because it creates ex accessible art. You don't need to go to a gallery space. You don't need to go to like a museum that might be stuffy or whatever, where you don't feel welcome. You can just go wearing whatever you're wearing and just take it in without feeling the need to, like, contemplate it very seriously. You know what I mean? Like, and I find, especially like doing South Asian art, which is that's where I draw a lot of my influence from, having our elders take it in and appreciate it, and have it connect with their upbringings in India or Pakistan or wherever it is. That's really powerful for me, because you don't often see, like, South Asian seniors frequenting gallery spaces, right? So how do we bring art to, like, my young children? My 2-year-old can see it on the street and appreciate it for however he wants to interpret it.
When you're talking about South Asian influences in your works, when we're looking at just all around the world in terms of the color and patterns and designs that are featured in art and just clothing in general, it's something that we don't have too much of in the West, and something that I feel we can greatly benefit from being inspired by and having artists of various, like, diverse backgrounds to help facilitate in creating our cities and spaces into this amazing collection of visual influences.
Totally. And you're saying that, like, even my upbringing, I grew up in the suburbs of Vancouver and in a very, like, Caucasian town, right? There was, like, I always say, there, like, in a graduating class high school of, like, over 400 people, there were probably four Indian students. I wasn't really friends with any of them. And so, because I was trying to fit in so much and wanting to not be Indian, it took me a long time to connect with my roots, right? Like, probably up until, like, maybe 4 years ago, my mid-30s is when I started appreciating it, and more than appreciating it, feeling proud of my identity. And, like, yeah, like taking inspiration from textiles and garments and, just things I often think about, just like things I grew up with that I just took for granted because it was a thing we had in our house. It was a certain dishware we had. And now it's like, oh, that's really cool. What can I do with that? Right. So even for me, a lot of, like, Canadian born people, of color, I think there's lots of opportunity for us to reconnect with our heritage through art.
And that's something myself that I am trying to go on that journey of understanding, what happened to people of European backgrounds? Like, what happened with, like, the culture and celebrations and things? Because, like, when we're seeing the Ukrainian diaspora who are coming over now because of the war, they're able to share their culture here, and they've got beautiful colors, beautiful, like, floral prints on their clothing, something that within general Western culture that we think of is not that. I mean, I'm not in a great example right now in just a plain black shirt, but it's definitely something that all of us can be inspired by, to be like, The human condition is to enjoy the vibrancy of life around us. Let's not just have drab, boring things all around. Because I think in studies and everything, and like in terms of seeing green on the street just in vegetation, the more vibrancy that's around us, the better your mental health is.
Totally, totally. And that's part of creating like communities where we're thriving and not just go to work and come back and it's just this cycle. Like, how do you bring joy into that whole, your whole day?
What is your approach to art when you're given a project and you're like, okay, you need to, for example, the Pride stairs. How do you approach that? Where are you thinking, okay, what colors am I going to use? What sort of compositions? You know, what does that thought process look like?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it depends whether the client comes to me with like a detailed brief or not. Sometimes like with the Pride stairs, it was kind of like, do whatever you want. Like I had done a mural for them the year prior. So they kind of had an understanding of how I work and my style and stuff. So it wasn't a sell. I didn't have to sell that. So it's like trying to figure out, first of all, with the Pride stairs, because they were public, the visibility aspect, right? Like the upper portion has, I think there was like three kind of like tiers, like there were a couple steps and a landing and more steps. And the top one had love is love. How is that going to be visible? How do I make it, if someone's still on the street turning into the mall entrance, are they going to be able to see it and read it? And another thing, like all of the artwork that I create is so vibrant in color because Vancouver is so gray and rainy all the time. So I need it like, cause I get like seasonal affective disorder in winter. I've lived here my whole life and it still affects me. So like, I try to surround myself with so much color and, you know, that spills over into my artwork. And how do I, like, it's like, how do I create art that, that even if you're not part of the queer community, how can you appreciate it? You know, that was specifically for Pride Month, but I didn't want, you know, people who aren't queer to see it and be like, I don't get it or whatever, right? Like, I want people to make their own connection. So yeah, and a lot of the like patterns that I use and motifs are, like I said, like we were talking about, like taken, I've taken inspiration from Indian patterns and garments. And kind of, I guess, try to not reinvent isn't the word, but have a like contemporary spin or take on traditional Indian art.
Just dinner with your company. We'll be right back.
crisis of confidence. You can be so cruel. Makes me question everything. Who made the rule? Broken lovers can't be friends. Think it through. You can't change your mind about this. I'm too tired to do this with you. I'm uninspired to see it through. I'm too tired to do this with you. I'm uninspired to see it through.
Give me anything. Hope is getting harder. Stillness in my veins. A coldness in your voice. Don't hold out. Misplaced within myself, we scream and shout. I've taken all I can from you.
I'm too tired to do this with you. I'm uninspired to see it through. I'm too tired to do this with you. I'm uninspired to see it through.
Well, speaking of Pride, I mean, you've been heavily involved in different things around the 2S LGBTQ plus community. You were featured in Emergence Out of the Shadows. Why is it important to you to kind of be vocal in your journey?
Yeah, and I wasn't always, you know, there's a period where I was really...
And I think most queer people have that kind of story of like, yeah, there was a time where you try to keep it on the DL.
Yeah, and for me, I wasn't afraid of like, you know, extended family finding out about me. I didn't really particularly care what their opinions were, but I was worried what kind of backlash it would create for my parents. And it's like, I'm going to be putting this on them, but... I'm at a point in my life, like my parents are so supportive. Like I am married, we've got two kids. My parents adore my family, right? And like we have relatives who are like 70, 80 years old. Who, when they call my mom, they'll ask for an update on us. And it's you know, I'm living a life I never thought I would be. And the reason, like, so with Emergence Out of the Shadows, it's a documentary film that's been all over the world now. My parents are in it. My brother, who's also queer, he's in it. And it also features two other queer Punjabi men. And it's, I think, you know, I was at the point in my life where you try to be a voice for people who don't have a voice or who can't have a voice, right? Like people often, it's still a very taboo subject, especially in South Asian culture. There's a lot of stigma still. And, you know, often there's a lack of understanding and lack of education in our parents' generation. They just haven't even thought of this concept, you know, or the possibility that two men can fall in love with each other. And so to be able to be one person that someone can see and say, oh, she's doing all right, right? That's really important to me, so that when they need to have those conversations with their family members or their relatives or friend, they can... It's like when I came out, my parents thought we were the only family going through this. I thought I was the only queer Punjabi woman for so long. And so I don't want other families to go through that. I want them to be able to see, oh, there's at least one other person like.
That's a very similar story to kind of like myself as well. You know, there's so long you're like, oh, why would I ever talk about this? Like I grew up in a conservative community. So, you know, there was a lot of like internalized hatred and things that I put on myself that you're just hearing around about like, oh, if you're queer, gay or anything within there, that's bad. So representation, I feel, in any aspect is so important to give individuals the opportunity to be like, yeah, you know what? That is pretty cool. That person has been able to be their authentic self, to celebrate who they love. And I know for myself growing up, seeing more people like that would have been amazing, or at least helped me during that period of time.
100%. Because you spend so much of your time like wondering what's wrong with me, because you haven't seen someone with a similar story, right? So if we can help be that person for one other family, I think that's huge.
And I think for many queer people, they think there's no one else like me out there. And then you start coming out and then it turns out the whole friend group that you built, you're like, wait, Yeah. We all had this secret? What's going on here?
Totally. So true.
Another thing you've been talking about is just, you know, queer couples raising children. And, you know, in the conversation right now, especially when we're seeing in the United States, there's a lot of pushback on just people being who they are, specifically trans individuals right now. But, you know, there's always that conversation of people being like, no, gay people shouldn't be able to have kids, blah, 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 all this stuff. So, you know, what sort of advocacy or like work are you doing? Or maybe I guess just, you know, what sort of things are you saying to let people know, you know, like, hey, it doesn't matter if someone's straight or anywhere on the queer spectrum. Parents are parents, and if you raise your kid with love, they're gonna, you know, have a great life.
Yeah, I think more than saying anything, I think the biggest thing I found is just like showing them by example. Like when we drop off our 4-year-old to preschool, like my wife and I and our son all go to drop her off and to pick her up a couple hours later, right? Which is what we were doing just before this call. And all I can do for my kids is like love them the way often I think like I try to be kind of parent I needed growing up, right? Because my parents were always working. They were new to Canada and they had no choice, right? They had to survive. As a result, like there's a lot of like, there's a lacking of like emotional support, I think. We had the material things, but, and that's affected me a lot, right? Like my mental health, the anxiety I have, and just trying to be a better parent for them and to protect them, to keep them safe and like not have them grow up feeling like a lack of something. I think that comes across in the way we care for our kids. And another thing I always say to people, like our son wakes us up at 5:45 every morning. Like we get up, we make breakfast. Like we're not doing anything differently than any other straight couple or single parent would do. We're providing for our kids and, you know, having a great time with them. And like, there's like, I often forget we're in a same-sex relationship. It's not even like, I don't actively think about it. It's just what our family looks like.
Yeah. It's like when you're in just that familial setting, like that's normal, right? That's the normal. Like, I know a lot of people are like, okay, the nuclear family, blah, 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 blah. This. It's like after a certain point, families can look like anything really, but as long as it's filled with love and respect for each other, that's a beautiful, amazing thing.
Totally. Yeah.
In your work for Pride and everything, what sort of messages would you like to give people out there?
Yeah, I think, you know, when I create artwork, a lot of it features the different intersections of my identity. So, you know, I'll have a, you know, like one of my artworks has a pair of Nikes, like high tops. The leg, all you see is like kind of like below the knees, right? So it's these very colorful Nikes, brown skin legs, and Indian outfit she's wearing. And it's like, that's the kind of clothes I wish I had been able to wear to weddings and stuff growing up, right? And it's like being able to live vicariously through these characters that I create or just these like themes that I draw from. And I think that's really important for me to show, especially my kids growing up in a, you know, family with two same-sex parents, like, it's okay to be express yourself however you want to express yourself. It's okay to have brown skin, something that is often still like, you know, there's a lot of colorism in the South Asian community. The darker you are, you know, the lighter you are, the more kind of you're seen as the beauty standards. Which is true, I think, for a lot of places around the world. And yeah, just like what I strive to do is like show people like, it's okay to be whoever you are. You don't need to change yourself. You don't need, like, because for so many of us who had struggled with coming out, we spent so long trying to change ourselves, right? Like, I don't want to be found out. I can't dress like this. Or, oh my God, like, do they know I'm gay? Even like growing up in the suburbs here, like, I want to change the way my name is pronounced, right? And it's like, let's just embrace who we are.
Exactly.
Be okay with that. And the quicker we embrace ourselves, the easier life gets. Because like I'm living a great life now and I don't dwell so much on wanting to be something else. It's like just we're okay here.
And that's something I feel that we're seeing in Gen Z and younger generations. This ability for people to just be who they are, to accept their quirks, their weirdness, and just be like, hey, this is me. I want to celebrate who I am, and I want to celebrate who you are. And I think that's an incredibly important thing that we can all learn. Like, everyone has had their journeys and things of, like, in struggles. But being able to see people just be their bubbly and happy selves, you're like, yes, that's how we should live art. Like, let's live with love and celebration and just have those moments where, you know, it's okay to be who you are.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, if I saw someone walking down the street like that, who's like, you know, very confident in who they are, it's like, oh, I want to be like that too. Right. And it's kind of creates this chain effect where it's like, it just creates more joy, like being able to talk to someone openly and freely without like being so afraid all the time is like such a liberating feeling.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, just being able to live like that, like we're seeing so many struggles in society right now of people being told they have to fit within the mold. Like me. I am trying really hard at working on presenting like leftism in the left sphere for men, because there's a lot of men that feel lost right now, and then they fall into those like those toxic stereotypes or those things like you have to be this way. And if they had the opportunity to, or someone who encouraged them to be who they are or be inspired by others, you know, maybe there wouldn't be so much issues within terms of the patriarchy and just misogyny there is that we're seeing.
Totally. I think there's so much of that. So sometimes it's just so ingrained in people and just in like everything in society, everywhere you look, that it's like, you know, it sometimes it's intimidating to try to break out of that.
So for someone who's maybe wanting to get into art, I guess two questions. For someone who is wanting to get into art, what sort of advice would you have for them? And then on the other, another part, for someone who's maybe questioning their identity or like sexuality and stuff, what sort of things can they do to maybe explore or better understand that?
Yeah, so I can start with the art piece first and then come into your second question. So I, like I said, I wasn't really a creative person growing up. And when after I took the graphic design course and graduated and I got a job as a graphic designer, I found that there was a huge difference between what we practiced in school versus what real life looked like. You know, the job wasn't as, it was creative, but it was still soul sucking, right? Like just corporate world. And so a couple years into it, I was like, I want to quit this job, do something else. And I was like, if I quit now, the only thing I'm going to have on my resume is this one job. And that's the kind of jobs I'll be able to get in the future, which I don't want. So I started teaching myself how to draw. And having told myself for so long, I can't draw, that was because I just thought to be an artist, you had to produce art that was like hyper realistic. If I'm doing a portrait of you, it needs to look exactly like you. That's what my idea of art was. And I couldn't do that. I just took a pen and paper and like drew what I just wanted to see, what can my hand do? It was super wonky. It didn't look realistic. But then when I drew enough of those kind of pieces, I was like, maybe this is my style. Maybe I can kind of embrace this. And again, it's like going back to like not trying to change yourself. It's like, let's just do what comes naturally, right? And I practiced every day, and that has sort of, the style I do now is a kind of just a more refined version of what I started with. And that wasn't even that long ago. It was like a couple of years ago, right? So I think practice every day. Another thing I did, this is before like, so I do lots of hand-drawn art now, which has become my style. Before that, I did everything on the computer digitally with like very minimal like blocks. Like if I was drawing you, I would take like a rectangle or a circle.
Yeah.
And a piece of
break it down into like the simple shapes of everything.
Yeah. And that was my very first like art or illustration project. And I took on a 365-day challenge just for myself. So every day, you know, after work or on weekends, I would spend time creating artwork and I would post it online for accountability, right? So that I had kind of like pressure to do it every day. And I think I just came out a completely different person at the end because I had this new skill. And since then I had done like within a span of 4 years, I had done three separate 365-day projects just to like, you know, explore different parts of myself. One of the projects was, I've been a very shy and introverted person my entire life. I wanted to kind of challenge that. So I went out every day for a year with a notebook and a Sharpie, and I would approach a stranger on the street and ask them to tell me what they learned today. And I would get them to write down, today I learned, and they would, you know, write it. Yeah, and I would take a photo of them holding up their sign. And like the first month was horrifying because I don't want to talk to a stranger that I've never met. But by the end of it, I'm here talking to you now, or I can be in the lineup at a grocery store talking to someone about like the muffins we're holding. And it's, you know, challenge yourself. Don't be afraid. If you feel like you can't do something, just start and you'll end up you know, learning a new skill through the process. So that would be my advice, you know, stick with it.
It's not unattainable. It's just something, because, you know, some people have like a natural gift that they can just like, bup, 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 easy. But anyone can do art. It's just the amount of effort you're willing to put in to learn.
Totally. And that's with anything. If I want to be a plumber, like I'll figure it out somehow, right? Like,
yeah. There
are avenues to do that. So yeah, nothing is unattainable. I really like that you said that. And then as far as like, you know, people that are questioning their identity or kind of wanting to explore, I think there's so many organizations nowadays, you know, whether it's nonprofits, whether it's like support groups, even if it's online and not in person, you know, a quick Google search in your area will probably find like a bunch of resources. Like, try to connect with those folks, try to meet, if you're feeling especially like really isolated and alone, like try to meet one other person who you can share your story with. And that's how it starts, right? Like, that's how you start building a connection of people, or a network of people that you feel trust with. And that's at least that's what worked for me, right? Like, I found Share Vancouver, came across them. They're an organization for queer South Asians. And that was the first time I realized, like, oh my God, like, we're here. There's people like me. And that becomes like really life-changing to have yourself like be seen and heard and like understood by people like you.
Where can people go to find out more about yourself and your work?
Yeah, so my website is jagnagra.com. And as far as social media, I'm most active on Instagram. So my handle is just @jagnagra.
Hey, thanks for listening. This was You Talk on 101.5 FM. I'm Ryan Funk, and see you next Tuesday.
Before it all